Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. For Halloween, I was wondering if I could get a costume of a Pharisee or tax collector. So I went to Party City in Torrance and had no luck. I went in and discovered, well, first of all, it was dangerous. I was surrounded by all kinds of families pushing their way to this huge wall. From top to bottom, it had examples of costumes with a number you would submit to get that costume. So I began looking all over this board for anything that would resemble a Pharisee or a tax collector. And the closest I got was Julius Caesar and a Neanderthal. According to the National Retail Federation, the two main characters of today's gospel are nowhere to be found on the top 10 list of costumes. For adults, the number one hit is the costume of a witch, followed by a Batman character, then a vampire, zombie, action hero, Superman, Dracula, a cat, etc. For children, the number one costume is a princess, then an animal, Batman, superhero, Spider-Man, a witch, zombie, Disney princess, Superman, etc. The article I read about Halloween favorites said that companies plan their strategies on what to produce in January and February. Well, no wonder a Pharisee or first century tax collector was not produced this year because it's October. But even people who have made the news in recent months won't have their images, their faces, portrayed in a mask because, as the article pointed out, it is all but impossible to get mask-making rights from such people because they own their likenesses. How true, we own our face. Yet there may be days we hide our true selves, days we may smile or look calm on the outside while feeling pain or fear on the inside. No matter what people project on the outside, we cannot hide our truth with God, which leads us to the Pharisee and the tax collector. Today's gospel reveals the character of these two men. Both had prominent positions in society. One held a respected office in his Jewish religion, and the other was well paid as a tax collector for the Romans. While they were not wearing costumes, they were well dressed by the standards of their day. So in hearing this gospel, we might jump to a simple conclusion that the pride of the Pharisee makes him the bad guy and the humility of the tax collector makes him the good guy. But we can't go there yet. First of all, it would be a surprise for those hearing this parable in the first century to hear that these men were even in the temple. The Pharisee had a religious occupation, but his job was not in a temple. He worked outside, making sure all the religious laws, big and small, were kept. So Pharisees wandered around the city, making sure people were not breaking religious laws. That is why they were always running into Jesus. And you wouldn't find tax collectors in the temple because they worked for the Romans who occupied the lands. They needed to keep themselves separate because their own flesh and blood regarded them as enemies. This gospel is actually about role reversals and the invitation to be sincere and humble with God. This parable teaches us to not wear a Halloween mask with God or think of ourselves better than others. But this Pharisee did feel superior. He was self-absorbed and even provided God with a description of his generosity. Yet the real shocker is that the Pharisee asked nothing of God. He thought he had everything he needed. The Pharisee had created a universe that kept everyone else out. It is worse than wearing a scary Halloween mask that keeps people away. His overblown sense of self separated him not only from other people, but from God. The tax collector, on the other hand, had a sincere, honest attitude with God. However, the tax collector felt so bad, so unworthy, that he kept himself far away from others, even staying in the back of the temple. He had extreme anguish and prayed for mercy. Thus, the tax collector doesn't claim virtue like the self-centered Pharisee. He hoped for mercy, a breakthrough of God's holiness into his sinful life. The tax collector brought no personal achievement before God. What he did bring was a sincere, humble self and asked God for forgiveness, for help. He was open to God's grace to make a change. Jesus gives us these parables to bring us closer to God. But moving closer to God might mean we need to change our ways with people also. This parable teaches us not to measure ourselves or compare ourselves with others. This parable invites us to measure ourselves against the holiness and mercy of God, to measure ourselves against the way of truth and love that Jesus lived. The following story from Dick Donovan is an example of this parable's message. The Russian novelist Yevtushenko was born in 1933. He tells of something that took place when he was 8 years old. The Germans had invaded Russia, had killed millions of Russians, and would kill millions more. But sometimes they lost a battle, and Yevtushenko, as a child, had a chance to see defeated Germans face to face. Yevtushenko described one of his memories. In 1941, Mama took me back to Moscow. There I saw our enemy for the first time. If my memory is right, nearly 20,000 German war prisoners were to be marched in a single column through the streets of Moscow. The pavements swarmed with onlookers, cordoned off by soldiers and police. The crowd were mostly women, Russian women with hands roughened by hard work, lips untouched by lipstick, and thin, hunched shoulders which had borne half the burden of war. Every one of them must have lost a father or a husband or a brother or a son killed by a German. So they gazed with hatred in the direction from which the column was to appear. At last we saw it. The generals marched at the head, massive chins stuck out, lips folded disdainfully, their whole demeanor meant to show superiority over their plebeian victors. The women were clenching their fists. The soldiers and policemen had all they could do to hold them back. But all at once, something happened to them. They saw German soldiers, thin, unshaven, wearing dirty, blood-stained bandages, hobbling on crutches or leaning on the shoulders of their comrades. The soldiers walked with their heads down. The street became dead silent. The only sound was the shuffling of boots and the thumping of crutches. Then I saw an elderly woman in broken-down boots push herself forward and touch a policeman's shoulder, saying, "Let me through." There must have been something about her that made her step aside. She went up to the column of soldiers, took from inside her coat something wrapped in a colored handkerchief, and unfolded it. It was a crust of black bread. She pushed it awkwardly into the pocket of a German soldier, so exhausted that he was tottering on his feet. And now, suddenly, from every side, women were running toward soldiers, pushing into their hands bread, cigarettes, whatever they had. The soldiers were no longer enemies. They were people. The response of that crowd to the German soldiers mirrors that of God to the Pharisee and the tax collector. The generals at the front of the march offended people with their arrogance. They asked no mercy and received none. The foot soldiers further back were a different story. They were broken, beaten men, and the crowd could not help but respond to their brokenness. So it is with each one of us. When we are self-satisfied and we feel no need of grace, we will receive none. When we recognize our brokenness, we are reminded of our need for God and become available to receive God's grace and love. There is no Halloween costume you can buy that is more perfect for you to wear every day at all times than the truth and beauty found in a humble, sincere heart. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen.